Blog Talk Radio.
My show today, Brain Cancer, Chris Carson. So I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and I know I probably just lost about half of you by making that one statement, LOL. Anyway, he was kind of a tribute today. It was neat to listen to because he was talking about, it seemed like, you know, a generally good guy that had helped him throughout his career, and he was a co-worker and a friend. And his name was Chris Carson, and he would call himself Kit Carson, the famous legendary cowboy guy. But anyway, I guess he passed today of brain cancer. So in my description here of the show, I'm not doing this show to exploit it, even though I guess you can perceive what I'm doing here as exploiting Chris Carson's condition, and I'm not. I thought... You know, when you listen to people talk, especially with someone as, with a very wide extension like Limbaugh does, and a large audience, and you look at kind of the lack of understanding that's out there on wellness. I know in this day and age, as the great Dr. Barry Sears always says, he says everybody's an expert. So everyone's got their opinions, and I don't think this is an opinion-based issue. It's a science-based issue, and the question is, do you know the science or not? And are you right or are you wrong? And there's really not a lot of in-between. There might be broad concepts that you can agree on and then kind of get the details wrong, which I have before, by the way, with people, and I've been impressed that they know as much as they do know. I mean, I know as much as I know because I found the individual that knows the most about wellness, and that means he knows the character that brings up the form of wellness. But there is a lot of ignorance surrounding disease itself that leads to disease states. And, you know, there's so much diagnostic overload out there. Everyone's got a test, but no one really knows what brings up wellness. Moreover, the tests are very specific in which you would take to know if you were well. And there seems to be many, though. So what I wanted to do is talk a little bit about, you know, the principles of conservatism, and the reason why is because I think the conservatives with the latest performance from the Liberal Party, which I think is fading in terms of, you know, big government, hopefully they get rid of the ACA, Affordable Care Act, and I think the conservatives missed a big opportunity, I guess, is my point. And why am I focused on the conservatives? Well, I don't think big media, and I don't think, the liberal left, the political left, I should say, is going to talk, nor would they ever know much about wellness. And the reason I bring up the conservatives tend to be more, principle-oriented, cause-oriented, and seem to want to talk seriously about it. And right now they just seem to be in defense mode. Which rightfully so, right? Any kind of person that cares would be in defense mode at this point with the country getting turned upside down with socialistic principles. So anyway, that being said, I think that, you know, radio talk shows like Rush Limbaugh, like Sean Hannity, have not only do they have friends that are hurting, they themselves may have an autoimmune disease, and they have, again, that voice that would allow them to reach a lot of people. So I wanted to talk about the principles of wellness and try my best not to exploit what happened today with Chris Carson and his death. So I'm hoping to shed a light on this massively inflammatory problem that virtually all Americans now face. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the testing that has gone through Zone Labs, or actually not Zone Labs, but the Inflammation Research Foundation, or wherever they do the testing, as a result of the cellular inflammation testing they do, which is a very high, what's called an AAD-EPA ratio, and that's an inflammatory test. So what is a very high ratio? Well, I've heard some estimates of around 20, which, well, or quote-unquote in the zone, is 1.5 to 3. So as a comparison, the Japanese population is between about 1.5 to 3. So you say, well, so what? What does it mean? Well, you know, everyone remembers the big cholesterol sham, which, you know, essentially the world, or at least first world nations, seem to be fighting. Why? I don't know. Well, I do know why, because they demonized cholesterol. And even though half the people that have heart attacks have, you know, good, you know, quote unquote good cholesterol, they still have a heart attack. And so, you know, you have basically only a 50% 50% correlation there. Whereas the AAD-EPA ratio, i.e. inflammation, has a much higher correlation. And this is across studies, across the board. I was reading another study today out of the book, The Mediterranean Zone. So you've got this, you got the science that's out there that inflammation is driving chronic disease states. It's driving chronic disease states and autoimmune disease states. So you know, on the cancer topics specifically, you know, there's a lot of different theories out there about how to treat it, and there's some commonalities. And I think to say that most doctors don't know about inflammation would be arrogant of me, because I think they do know that inflammation's definitely part of, right, most all chronic disease states. So they know it's a component of it. But what the inflammation, let me say, because I don't like talking for other people, what Barry Sears was trying to say is it's the driving force behind it. And, of course, you're always careful not to say cause. So it's the driving force behind chronic disease states, including cancer. And within cancer, there's a problem with your immune system, for example. With your immune system trying to identify, let's say, the difference between a healthy cell and a cancer cell. Well, part of the problem with cancer is that, let's say, you have PGE2. And you have PGE2, which is a bad carcinogen. It acts like a stealth shield. So the immune system simply can't identify the cancer cell. So it thinks, oh, look, it doesn't even see it. Or if it does, it's so murky that it can't tell the difference between the two. So one of the ways that it's allowed to metastasize throughout the system. Now, there's a lot of perspectives and angles being taken, not only in how to, you know, just manage cancer, but also treat it and go after it, quote unquote, the cure that's been floated around. And what I don't understand is due to this diagnostic overload, I mean, you now have a protocol called AAD-EPA. Take the AAD-EPA test, and if you have a high AAD-EPA, I would say it's pointless for you to conduct any sort of study or any sort of pharmaceutical, because, well, pharmaceuticals aside, you know, they're out there to make money. They're not really concerned with wellness, because that would then attack the business or the need for pharmaceuticals, obviously. And I don't want to get into any big conspiracy belief there, but it's obviously there's a conflict of interest there, which is okay. That's the business they're in. But as far as becoming well, why the protocol of AAD-EPA, which is now correlated very high with any disease state it's ever tested against, because, of course, if you knew the science, you would know that it would drive it simply by the biochemical mapping there, which is essentially either excess, you know, calories or excess carbohydrates, especially in the absence of long-chain omega-3s, then create, you know, arachidonic acid, then triggers NF-kappa-B, the mastic inflammatory switch, which then generates pro-inflammatory proteins and cytokines. So the science is there, and if you read through any one of, let's say, the Zone books, that's essentially an anti-inflammatory book that talks about diet-induced inflammation, you get a lot of supporting reasons why cancer, not just cancer, all other diseases, but specifically, you know, for now, cancer, is driven by inflammation. And the reason why I bring this up now, and the reason why the whole brain cancer thing kind of struck me, specifically versus, let's say, a different chronic diseases, because in the book, The Mediterranean Zone, Berzerius talks about a lot about the resolution phase of inflammation. Most of his book, I mean, he did talk about resolvins, and he talked about how, you know, aspirin and fish oil plays a role in creating resolvins, but he really got into the resolution phase this time as being something segregated from the initiation phase of inflammation. And so in the resolution phase, with high dose EPA DHA, especially plus low dose aspirin, creates, and it's mostly the EPA DHA, so I don't want to get bent around the axle with the aspirin, creates resolution, resolvins, right? That helps resolve inflammation. So these resolvins, especially in the brain, so if you know anything about the fatty acids that reside up in the brain, you're talking about arachidonic acid and DHA. Why does the EPA not reside up there? So that's why, you know, hence the belief that DHA is so important for the brain, which it is, but it's not more important than EPA. EPA is actually more important in the brain, in my opinion, than DHA by far, primarily because it goes in and fights the battle. So I always remembered it as EPA, eliminates and DHA infiltrates. And so, but more technically, from an inflammatory cascade perspective, or from an inflammatory perspective, Barry Sears believes in reading the book that what happens when the EPA enters the brain is it oxidizes into resolvins and then helps resolve the issue. Now, Charles Sirhan from Harvard verified that resolution is required in the brain in order to treat Alzheimer's effectively. Why? Because it's as simple as this. The science comes down to this. Your cells are on fire or they're not. Most Americans are on fire. Goes on fire long enough, well, you're going to get a chronic disease. Why? Because you're breaking down cells all the time and eventually leads to a chronic disease, i.e. more than 50%. I guess you're worried about America right now because more than 50% are receiving some sort of social medicine, which means the body of America is breaking down. Okay, we all know that, but we won't get political here. Back on point is inflammation leading to chronic disease, and if you don't resolve the inflammation, if you don't put out the fire, in other words, it's still on fire. So no matter what you do, no matter what enzyme you treat with a drug or an herb or, whatever, even if you stop the initiation phase, for example, of inflammation, which is good because that way you don't generate more of it, but there's still the embers. Or so like if you ever, a fire ever goes dead, you don't touch the wood because it's still hot. Well, your cells are still hot and the embers are still going off. So in the book, talking specifically about the resolution phase, is high-dose fish oil, refined fish oil, helps generate lots of powerful resolvins. So when you talk about some of the nerd alert reports that are out there, you read reports about how eating fish is better than taking fish oil supplements. Why? Because fish then is, the EPA and DHA then incorporates into the blood plasma easier, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because, number one, fish is contaminated, so that's one thing. Highly refined fish oil is not, especially Omega RX, which has been tested, is that you need high dosages, which you cannot get from fish. Now, in the Japanese population, yeah, they eat a ton of fish in order to reach that. Plus, they eat, and their diet's better. But in America, probably the best way to do that is an anti-inflammatory diet plus a bunch of high dose fish oil. Plus, because you're getting benefits there. Number one is you can consume more EPA DHA to do the job, i.e., create the resolvins and other good eicosanoids and cancel out the bad eicosanoids. You don't get all the, the mercury and the PCBs and dioxins and the contamination, essentially, vertanes, et cetera, in the fish oil. So anyway, with cancer, as with all chronic diseases, it's fueled by inflammation. Inflammation is clearly present there, so it becomes the common denominator, clearly here. And so the reason why I was thinking about, conservative, talk is simply because they have, especially the Limbaughs of the world, he believes in the Constitution, and this isn't a hit on him at all, and this stuff is complex, I get it, and you got to know. And I always thought the thing I liked about, at least Limbaugh, and of course I loved about Socrates, is that if you don't know, you don't know. So I'm not grasping at straws here. This is known now, and it's more like a science and less like an art. So you can't just go on the Twinkie diet that I remember Limbaugh talking about a long time ago and say, oh, look, it's good. Because, look, his blood values got better. Yeah, they did because he probably stopped eating as many calories, which means he created less bad hormones. But it wasn't ideal, and in no way was it going to put out the flame, right? It just happened to be slightly better than what he was doing before. so what? But now, and I hate when I say this because I remember when people used to say it and they didn't know. Now we know why. Don't you hate that? Now we know why, but then they get better in the future. Well, so then, of course, how could you know why if you then improved in the future? So you didn't know why. That's why you, you know, came to a different conclusion in the future. But the science here is, and I'm pretty good at knowing kind of right and wrong in terms of deductive reasoning. And his deductive reasoning is impeccable. The knowledge of his knowledge of biochemistry, especially human biochemistry, is spot on. And now, of course, this is coming from a non-biochemist. I am, however, obviously certified in anti-inflammatory nutrition. But so I don't, again, want to exploit his death. However, and you don't want to say, see, you know, your friend would still be alive. You know, you hate all of that. And but the point is that, you know, you always try to use maybe, as they say, you know, a calamity or some sort of bad event to learn from and to maybe take heart. But this, to me, is the lesson of it. This, to me, is the time we start talking about them. Because America's health is rapidly declining. We all know this. And just by making an assertion doesn't mean you know the solution. Can we say, you know, Michelle Obama? You know, again, I mean, it's not simple. It's not a simple science. And simple thinking won't dig us out of this problem. And so, but this complex thinking has been done, and in my opinion, it's been verified. And the studies support it. The science is spot on. And just even the one-offs where, let's say, Fischl has been given to Randall McCoy, the miner. He basically was given 15 grams a day. I think his name's, I can't remember, name's top of the head, but Visger, the all-pro, plays from San Francisco, 15 grams a day after he went through 9 brain surgeries, and his memory, he started returning. Other people, you know, concussions, 100% across the board. Now you add vision, reversal of vision loss, you know, to the lineup, and now you've got another just a validating, you know, data point. Nothing's inconsistent here. Nothing. Nothing's inconsistent to the reduction of inflammation driven by using high dose fish oil, highly refined high dose fish oil. So you know, you use this another calamity to hopefully drive home a point that this is, you know, this, let's say, disease-ridden, lack of wellness, unhealthy America, this is, we can fight this. And now people say that all the time without really knowing. And this is more like knowing, because it's not just take one, you know, element out of the diet or add one element. It's basically you constructed a whole. And so you say, it's easy to attack all these different villains, and it is. But it's hard to create what's right, right? So you take Constantine, so we're all you conservatives out there. It was easy to attack democracy, timocracy, oligarchy, all the different regimes, right? And you could even, and of course, it's easy to attack despotism, or you know, or dictatorship, or any you know form of despotic regime that you want. Of course, even the pure regimes, though, pure doesn't exist. When I say pure, I mean a pure timocratic regime, a pure democratic regime. I mean a pure you know aristocratic regime. They don't exist. They all descend. They all descend and degenerate. And so you're always looking for that regenerating regime. Well, America was a lot like that. And you didn't need necessarily to know that it existed before to know that it could exist. And so you need, because you couldn't do a study on it, per se, right? You had to know or you failed, and that's pretty much it. And this is no different. And so you either know or you fail. And not only just knowing is required, but actually doing and having is required. And so in that case, is you now have the constitutional construct of diet, let's say, and that comes in the form of building what is and what needs to be in order to generate what is always, and by always mean well until you die, right? That's Gary Shears would put it something like the most amount of years with least amount of debilitation would probably help define that. So now where the world seems to be going, or America seems to be going, all to save probably an existing business or to say that they're in for the cause, kind of like the pink ribbon, which I hate. I mean, it's, and I hate it because, and here's why I hate it, and I truly do, is I believe that all this money has been wasted on charity. Again, they don't know the protocol, but yet they're going to solve the problem. They don't. They've been trying forever, and they've wasted a bunch of money, and they failed. Okay, epic failure. Everyone that Barry Sears has dealt with, success, you know, driven, written all over it. Now, does that mean people don't die? No. Does it mean that people... But, as, you know, some people that have been on, is even famous people, they stop doing it. Well, that doesn't count. If you the worse off you are, the more you have to comply, of course, as well. But, so, you know, you've got, all of these data points, all of these people, very consistent process here, and you've got the world, i.e. businesses, charities, government going after, Coke's trying to compete. And, of course, government should never try to compete, but they are. You got, all these different .orgs out there that tell you to take canola oil. Well, canola is great compared to omega-6, but it's not great compared to, let's say, olive oil or high oleic safflower oil, for example, much healthier. And I don't want to get into reasons why right now because we just don't have the time for this segment. However, where I see the world going is places like Pizza Hut, for example, is going gluten-free. Well, the problem is that gluten-free doesn't mean anything unless you have celiac disease. In fact, the Australian researchers found that it wasn't necessarily gluten that was causing the reaction. It was what's called FODMAPs. So that was, that was very, a very well-done research study. It was hard work, which no one likes to do. They just associate one thing with another thing with another thing with another thing instead of going after cause. And when you go after cause, the picture is tougher, it's slower, the progression, but the picture becomes clear. And every step that you get right becomes a stepping stone. And you know it when you're finding it, hopefully, or you think you're finding something, you're not, which is not good. But Pizza Hut going gluten-free, well, it does nothing. It does nothing, unless you have celiac disease. I mean, but it's, again, good luck. You're going after going after all these villains, whether it's dairy, GMO, and it's like, okay, so it's all fine and dandy. Let's just say you're sensitive to those things. There's no way those things come even close to touching the benefits of an anti-inflammatory diet. Add to that, of course, the supplements of long-chain omega-3s, and now you've got highly purified polyphenols, which are awesome. So you've got all the pieces, the holy trinity, the anti-inflammatory diet, highly refined fish oil, highly purified polyphenols. That's the holy trinity of wellness, or how to achieve wellness. And then, of course, there's the holy trinity of blood tests, which, H1C, triglycerides, HDL, and then the gold standard, which is the AD/EPA, all measuring different things, but all as a whole measure your wellness profile. So how does this get back to chronic disease again? Because there's either states of wellness or moving towards wellness, and then there's states of the disease or moving towards disease. You're always becoming something, and you never really are anything. But things that are something are forms. Okay, so what I mean by that, not to get too esoteric or too deep, but a thing's a thing because of the form it brings up, which is a real thing. Meaning, you could use, let's say, the diet and toasted sesame to get there. You could use, let's say, exercise as part of it. But it all brings. You're all trying to. What you're trying to do, whether there's different paths or roads together, you're trying to bring up the form of wellness. Okay, and so wellness is now on one spectrum, and then you've got disease on the other. And you're always becoming, so you can, if you stay in an anti-inflammatory state, environment, then you can, I suppose, move towards and keep that wellness profile as long as you live. By the way, you live longer. By the way, you have increased telomerase. By the way, you have less ROS, reactive oxygen, free radicals, et cetera, et cetera, all the good, all to the good. And I've always thought that was something conceptually very interesting as well, that if you were doing something good, it would support all good things in proportion, not just one thing, but would then, obviously not support another thing so that, so that the benefit of one thing would not say an offset another. But in proportion, it benefits all things leading to the good, which and the good in this case being wellness. And wellness being defined as the absence of inflammation. And the absence of inflammation biochemically is a low AD/EPA, about 1.5. That's defined by Barry Sears. That's based upon the Japanese population. That's because they have the most amount of years of longevity and least debilitation, least amount of depression, least amount of this chronic disease and that chronic disease and all chronic disease, for example. Now, what's interesting, additionally, is not only is there the nerd alert, let's say Pizza Huts of the world going gluten-free, thinking that they're helping and assisting in the problem while doing nothing. Except, again, unless you have like celiac disease. The other interesting thing is the autoimmune. So I talked a bit about chronic disease, and I mentioned autoimmune, but for the case of Limba, I believe Limba has an autoimmune disease, and I apologize if I'm incorrect about that. So it's funny, even though someone may have strong genetics, and I believe he does, he's still attacking himself. So his immune system is just as innate as my immune system. And it is attacking itself. That's what's common about people. So I always believe in the common, too. What is truly common? Well, it's not common our needs. It's not common our income. It's not common our desires, our wants, and everything else. But what is common is the fact that we all need water. What is common is the fact that we all need oxygen. What is common is the fact that if we become inflamed, it hurts us. It may hurt me worse or hurt him in a different way. And his way, if he's got an autoimmune disease, which I believe Glenn Beck does as well, is that he's attacking himself. And this manifests itself in, let's say, hearing loss, right? So it's rampant. Everybody's got something going on. And just because you're not there yet doesn't mean you won't be. So, again, you're somewhere in the middle of the spectrum. You're either on the wellness side of the spectrum or you're on the disease side of the spectrum. Or you're somewhere in between, like most regimes. You're never purely capitalistic. You're never purely communistic. You want to be moving towards the good. And I won't even get into that, what is good. But here, in this case, wellness is the good and disease is the bad. And, yes, it does make sense to fight cancer, but no, it doesn't make sense to go after this method and that method if you're not following protocol. And protocol should be the foundation. And the foundation is A to EPA. The foundation should be protocol, and protocol should be A to EPA. That is the science, and that is what studies have now validated and are, you know, and the reason why is because your DNA is built upon that specific ratio, and that specific ratio is based upon the fact that your diet never really changed that much for a long period of time, so your DNA was built there on that. And so to change it on, when it changes it on, it doesn't know how to act. It thinks that it's being attacked by a microbe. It can't tell the difference between that and a fatty acid imbalance. And it's as simple as that, but it's a very complex way to get there. And, of course, again, primary villains there are increased omega-6, vegetable oils, increased carbohydrate consumption, and decreased long-chain omega-3s, and add the fourth to the list, decreased polyphenols, as a result of eating less fruits and vegetables. So now the solution's there, most importantly, and it's, again, zone diet, coupon code AF10PZD, high-dose fish oil, polypurified polyphenols, and now they got zone pastas and all kinds, you know, and the foods to boot, and menus or, you know, whatever else, whatever tools and resources you need in order to get the diet right. So, you know, lastly, again, before my segment ends here, you get tired of the five things you need to know. And I guess people respond to this, which is amazing to me because, like, the Constitution is built up based upon balance of your freedoms, your liberties, and power, and all of that. Well, it's not five things you need to know. And diet doesn't work that way either. And or I should say wellness does not work that way either. It's balancing your hormones, it's balancing your enzymes, and therefore it won't necessarily fool your immune system or attack you as a consequence. So this diagnostic overload, everything in the sense can be measured, but only three things should be measured, which I mentioned. To get your proper wellness profile. And the things you need to do for diet are very specific, right? High-dose fish oil, high-dose polyphenol, or purified polyphenols, and zone diet. That's an anti-inflammatory regimen you got right there. Boom. And, of course, you had your exercise, stress reduction to manage your other hormones, growth hormone, cortisol, et cetera. And now you're fine-tuning it. And so I would like to end with just saying, hey, the science is there. There's lots of tragedies that occur in life, and I would say anything that's bad is a tragedy by definition. That's a no-brainer. The question is, you know, America's allowed us to get it right. We're getting it wrong, so why don't we get it right? I wish conservatives would join this because this is knowledge. This is the, you know, like, you know, what America was for, is to create the better, to pursue the better. Now that we've got it, I wish more would get on board, and the conservative movement can definitely help distribute this message. And, you know, hopefully they get there, I could say myself included, as part of that, you know, part of that movement. But and everybody, really. But I just, again, the conservatives have a very large platform, and they like to talk about things that actually are. And this is something that actually is and was constructed by a man that, in my mind, is one of probably the most excellent men. to walk the face of the earth. And that's Dr. Gregory. So hope you enjoyed my little preachy talk, but I felt compelled for whatever reason today because of this man's death, and wish him and his family all the best and his friends. Good night.